Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Now time for a very harmonized edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into a friend and which games to simply hop in your spacecraft and just hyperspace travel on by. I am Corey. I'm joined by the Star Fox fan himself, Basher.
I am a Star Fox fan, actually. So much so that I like that the one where you get to walk around in, I think it was GameCube, the one that everyone hates.
Adventures. Star Fox Adventure, which did not start out as a Star Fox game.
I think it's one of those, like, well-known facts, or like, well, what do they call them? Like, everyone knows it, but, like, people, like, bring it up like it's a secret.
Okay, so that game, as I was a dumb child, I was super excited about that game. That game is actually not that great.
You're wrong. It's great.
6.5 out of 10.
Nope. It's better than Breath of the Wild.
But I mean, I'd fight that. As a child, I was so disappointed because the final boss is like a Star Fox boss. Like, there was very few actual flying segments in that game. You did that to travel to a new planet. You did a little Star Fox section. So I was ready to fight General Scales, man. I was ready. You get to the end, and then all of a sudden, it's like General, I guess, spoiler alert for Star Fox Adventures. You get to the last boss, and then he's like, oh no, by the way, it was Andross the whole time. And so what do? You fight Andross like you do at the end of every freaking Star Fox game. Even at the age of 11, however it was, 13, whatever. I was like, this is dumb. Who did this? Why would you do this? Why would you do that?
Because the gameplay was the best of all time sequel. Let's do this, guys. Like, I'm
the game looked incredible, though. It still does, honestly. I liked Tricky because you could hit him with your staff, and then whenever you would feed him, he goes, "Oh, I'm stuffed!" Like, yeah. And I did enjoy in Star Fox Assault. You went back and you said hi to Tricky, and he was an adult then. That is not what we're we're not going to talk about Star Fox at all. We're going to talk
this
about
is literally every episode. This is what we're not going to talk about is what we talk about.
Chorus, spelled with a V on the box art, but a U everywhere else.
Wait, is that accurate?
What?
Wait, it's not spelled with the V all the time.
Correct.
Okay,
it's only.
We were just having this conversation. Okay, so
that's why I was confused.
They replaced the V, the U with the V, so I'm calling it Corvus.
Oh, but only on the box art.
See, that's stupid.
The actual listing is Chorus.
See, that's stupid. I don't like that at all.
I'm with you. 100%. Here's the description of this game. Take control of Nara on a quest to destroy the dark cult that created her. Unlock devastating weapons and mind-bending abilities in a true evolution of the space combat shooter. Along with Forsaken, her sentient starfighter, explore ancient temples, engage in exhilarating zero-G combat, and venture beyond our waking reality. This is a game that... Oh, I'm sorry. Here's the rest of the details. Available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. It is optimized for Xbox Series X and S, has a performance mode, has a resolution mode, and has a ray tracing mode. does feature smart delivery, so you can crossplay as well as cloud saves. That's what I'm looking for. Cross saves, not crossplay. There is no multiplayer. Cross saves, so you can start this on PC and then play it on your Xbox. I was going to do that because I wanted to check out like a high frame rate mode, but I did not. I have checked out all of the performance and all that fun stuff. I'm going to recommend you stick with performance mode. The ray tracing is very subtle. Resolution mode is fine, but this game sings at higher higher frame rates. Higher resolution is nice, but higher frame rates is where it's at. It's fast paced. It's action. It's all of those fun things. Regular price is at $39.99, but right now you can actually purchase it for 60% off if you are a Game Pass member for only $17.99. So, Corvus, let's talk about it.
Corvus, whatever you want to call it. This is one of those games that is. I've been asking for a game that is really just not so self-serious. Like, I'm just kind of over those right now. But then Chorus comes along being the most almost Hideo Kojima-esque, like, levels of, please care about me, please. And honestly, it was a bit off-putting at first. And that the intro sequences of the other, I mean, they were fine. It took a while for this game to really click for me. And when it clicked, it was like a whole new world. And my biggest issue with it, honestly, was just how you don't get a lot up front. Like it takes its time to teach you certain systems and in gameplay, but it really created like a why does he like this so much mentality for me the first few minutes, and then it's like, oh wait, I get it now.
Yeah, it's to set up a little bit more. So this is it's a flying game, I guess you could call it. I have not played anything like Endless Space or what's that other one? Star Citizen, you know, like I have not played any of those quote modern flying games. So I wasn't really quite sure what to think about this one. Sony actually had the exclusive on this for like 6 months or something. And I remember seeing that when it debuted on one of their PlayStation Directs or whatever they call them now. And I looked at it and I was like, that's cool. Like, but I'm not really quite sure how, you know, like it looks cool, but it also, I'm not sure what you're doing in it, because in trailers and stuff, like you said, it's a very serious story. I have finished this game. I know it happens, but I still don't quite understand. Like it's like it wants to go for that Star Wars type lore where it's so deep and you really got to drill down to understand what's going on. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. There's AI, like it's almost like a weird Halo style relationship with Nara and Forsaken. Like
Forsaken being it's kind of weird. Or the AI on a ship.
The AI in the ship, yeah. When you don't start with Forsaken, so like you said, it was, but when you first turn it on and you start playing and like, you know, you get a feel for the ship, you're like, wow, like this looks cool. Like there's just these vast, massive areas to just fly around in. And like when you're first flying, like, all right, this is neat. Like, you know, it's nice and maneuverable, but you can't really do anything. You know, you just fly. And so you start playing it and you're like, this looks cool. But then all of a sudden, like it's a Ubisoft game for like an hour.
Yeah. Like it just kicked in all of a sudden.
Yeah. And then like, it's like all these icons pop up and you're like, wait a minute, like what? Like, I don't want to do this. And then so like with you, it took me a while for it to click, but for some odd reason I was playing it. And I was just like, there's got to be more to this, because there was all these different like slots on your HUD for these different things. I'm like, what are these things? So I stopped doing all the side stuff, which is like straight up filler. And then I was doing the main quest. And then when I got the drift.
Yeah, the drift. Right. The drift changes like, the game.
Yeah. Like it's your eyes open and you're just like, OK, all right, I see what's going on here.
The drift, like, and then the time slip or the teleport thing. Like, yeah.
Right.
It's really one of those games that reminds me of like Ori, where very basic mechanics, but when they all come together, create a really easy yet complex gameplay system.
Yeah. And it's, I absolutely adore this game, but at the same time, it's extremely frustrating because it's it is the best Star Fox game that we've ever gotten, not from Nintendo, but it's also what's the word I want to say? Like it's so derivative of modern games that it's annoying.
I mean, it's no Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge. Like let's not kid ourselves here.
You know, that is backwards compatible. I have never played it. Maybe I should. I know. But I say all that because, like you said, it's when you're playing the game and like even just traveling around the world, like because you've got like a boost and you've also got like your hyper boost, whatever you want to call it, where you just book it and you just cover ground. Like when you're just floating through the air with that hyper boost and you just see everything kind of like passing by you, like it's almost like therapeutic. You know, it's just like it's so clean and everything's so smooth. And then whenever like a dogfight happens and you just have this complete control over the ship and you're just like dogfighting and teleporting and drifting, it's just like it's magical. It's almost like a Doom Eternal style smoothness of just like I know exactly what I need to do. There's all these different enemy types, like I know what I need to do, but sometimes doing it can be, you know, it's up to you to do it correctly. The better you do it, the cooler you feel, and that stuff is awesome. But there's just so much other stuff that it's annoying. Like this is a solid eight hour game that could easily, that's easily stretched out to 20 if you try to do everything. And that extra 12 hours is not great. Like it's just filler stuff, and it's not, it's annoying to me that it's even in there.
And I wonder if that's because neither of us really connect. I mean, you probably more so than I, but like neither of us, I don't think, really connected with the story and the characters in here. Like speaking for myself, they went really deep with what's her name?
Nara's.
Yes, Nara's backstory and whatnot. Well, not even her whole backstory. They really just kind of tease these huge visions, plot points almost, and stuff in her past, and they want you to know more, and you kind of do, but it's just, she just never resonated with me as a character. And I think this is one of those games for me where the gameplay is so phenomenal that it makes up for the parts of the story and design that I don't like. For me, it was definitely just how they portrayed the character Nara. I mean, I really could not stand her inner dialogue. Like,
yeah, the whole whispering thing is really like, it reminded me of Hellblade. I don't know if you ever played Hellblade, but that game has a lot of that like inner monologue of sort of deceptive thoughts, I guess you could call them. And that is very much like that, of where every time she had something to say, it was like she was being like a bad person. And so that's why she couldn't say it out loud. It's like they almost tried to gamify or make the inner dialogue trope make sense, and it's like it really wasn't necessary, like, because Forsaken is a very testy AI. Like he's really not happy about anything
at all. Like he doesn't get any happy about anything either.
No, and so it's like I don't really understand why she constantly felt this need to not say things out loud. Like with some of the characters that you meet, which are also human, and they're, it's got this really weird sort of like traitor sort of vibe to it, to where she's responsible for this cataclysmic event that sort of happened, but nobody really knows she is. And so she's trying to like redeem herself. And it's like, it's got all these different plot points, and it all sort of centers around Nara and Forsaken and their relationship. And I struggle to say, like, I don't know if it's not well told or if I just didn't care. It's probably somewhere in the middle, to where it's sort of obtuse in many ways where it doesn't need to be, but it's obtuse for the sake of moving the plot along or elongating the plot. And by the end, like, you meet all these different characters, and I could not tell you the name of any of them except Nara and Forsaken. Like, the rest of them do not matter in the slightest, but it goes out of its way to make sure that you meet these people. And it just didn't do anything for me.
No, it really didn't for me either. I just was not a big fan of any of the characters. I thought maybe by the end Forsaken would be my guy, but I mean, he was just kind of a flat note all the way through. And then again, like the way they portrayed Nara was very similarly one note, you know, like she never really had an arc to her. And and I feel like all the interesting things about Nara happened in her past. we weren't playing the most interesting parts of her life, I feel like.
Right, right. Her redemption arc is pretty, like, it almost sort of feels like this game is not set in a realm of reality in terms of, like, you are doing things in your ship that are not possible. You know, like, you've got teleporting, you know, you've got all these different aspects and all these different methods of storytelling that are very supernatural in many ways. And it seems like they were trying to just make that make sense. And that's why they have this character that can sort of unlock these things and gets these different abilities, because she's not actually quite human and all these. But like you said, that's the interesting part of her character, is that she's not human. Her unlocking these abilities that she used to have isn't interesting. It's the fact of where she comes from is interesting. And they sort of show you that with these flashbacks, and there are cutscenes in this game too, but the cutscenes are usually not they're not in the past, if that makes sense. It's usually all stuff going forward. So like you said, there's an interesting story here, but it's lost somewhere. And again, like I said, it reminds me of like Star Wars novels, in that I've read a lot of Star Wars novels in my days, and anytime that they're not talking about Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader, you usually don't care. And there's always so many characters and all these subplot lines stuffed into these science fiction stories that they're 900 pages and they really only need to be about 300 pages. Like,
you just made, I don't a lot really of care people about mad with that one.
Yeah, probably. I'm reading that new Star Wars book. It's actually pretty good. But again, I don't care about the guy that found the Kyber crystal. I just don't.
Like, is the Kyber crystal a thing?
It's a thing. It's still a thing. Now there's new crystals.
You people need to stop the Star Wars. Just stop it.
They are attempting to try to redeem Rise of Skywalker. Like that's where we're at.
Oh yeah, they're trying to fix it. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But so I completely agree with all of that about Chorus, and I think that is I think for me those negative parts hit harder. Just because, again, the gameplay is so well done and so well crafted, and I just hated when he made me stop playing the game. And that's a good problem to have in a way, because there's a lot of times where I'm just like, I want to go to the next dogfight. That's what I want to do. But then I have to get a new power up, and that requires me to go into this sort of node or break in space time, and then I'm all of a sudden can't use my boosters and I can't use my weapons, and I'm just it's like a escort mission almost speed in
a
ship.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
I'm just like, why are you making me do this? Like, tell this story. Like, one of the best things about that God of War reboot was how they were telling the story as you were playing it. Like, they didn't stop to tell you like how the things were, why things were the way they were. Whereas Nara does that, like, it's like you said, the modern game design flaw of, all right, we have a story to tell now, let's stop all action. And it happened more times than I wanted it to.
It even does like the Gears of War thing of just like, not only are we going to stop you, we're going to slow you down.
Yeah.
So that way, like, you know, as if your fingers were to your ear, and it's like, I'm in a freaking spaceship.
Exactly. Like, I don't have like, to slow
what
down
are you
here.
Doing? Right. It does all of those things, and it's so frustrating because, like, to bring up Doom,
as you always
Doom Eternal, exactly. Doom Eternal also sort of has this problem, but not to the same degree. It's like Doom 2016 was brilliant because it told the story through very few cutscenes, and most of the time, like you said, it was done while you're playing it. And at the end of the day, like, all I want to do is kill demons. But they were smart enough to make the Doom Slayer in Doom 2016. That's all he wanted to do too. Like, they were able to write that, you know, RoboCop style character of just like, I don't care what's going on, I'm here to kill things. Like, stop trying to shove plot into this. But then it's weird because Doom Eternal kind of flips that and they start adding plot into it. And every time they added plot to it, I'm like, just stop. Just let me kill the demons, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and Chorus is not that bad in terms of plot.
Exactly, right.
You know, like Doom is definitely one of those games where it's like, I came here to kill demons and that's it. Whereas Chorus has more meat to it.
But all I want to do is keep introducing, because the game, it is so longer than it needs to be, because like they do eventually introduce new enemies and new enemy types that you have to actually use, like, because you've got kind of like your pulse rifle, then you've got your missiles and you've got your lasers, and they all sort of serve their own purpose. Like, you can use them on any enemy, but the enemies that you want to use rockets on, if you don't use rockets, it might take longer, you know, like, so there is this sort of rock, paper, scissors gameplay to it. And by the end of the game, there's like 10 different enemy types, and you're constantly trying to balance all the plates of like, okay, like, I want to take out the red bars first, because that's your that's usually like your cannon fodder. And so, but then you're getting nailed by this heavy ship over here that you need rockets on, but you're also trying to do it while you're flying into this mothership to try to take it out. Like, it does that balancing so well, and you feel awesome when you're playing this game. Like, there's like 30 minute chunks of it to where you're just like, you are literally zipping through space. Then you do a freaking Fast and the Furious 180 turn, shoot some rockets to destroy this giant fucking freighter. Oh, I gotta mark that down. Giant freaking freighter. And then you swoop into it, take out all of the power cores for it. It explodes as you're zipping out of there. And then you also, on your way out, you do a cool little 360, because why not?
Because why not? Right. And because like you said, you have complete and utter control of the ship. Like, it's one of the few flight games that I feel that. I want to do a hard turn here and do this drift here. And it just felt like perfect. And again, going back to the beginning of the game, I was almost checked out because I got into those dogfights that you do in these games where
terrible.
Where you're just doing like that circle, that slow circle, yep, trying to shoot the thing. I'm like, this is going to suck. But then you get like we said, you get all these other power ups and you just feel extremely powerful. You have complete control over your ship. And that to me is the best part of this game. Like, I feel like this game is so gameplay heavy that it makes up for other imperfections.
It does. It makes up for them. But what I'll say is, like, it is one of the most egregious type of flaws that these, like, and that was kind of the reason I brought up Doom Eternal. It was like, yeah, like it peppers in these story moments in Doom Eternal that you really don't care about, but they're so infrequent that you can totally look past them and forgive it. This is on the opposite spectrum,
not as
where they're
infrequent at all. No, this is more
right.
More frequent.
And there are times where I'm just like, oh my God, stop. Like, just let me play the game. And like, to the point to where there was a couple times, like, I was like, all right, I got to take a break. Like you go from such awesome gameplay to where you feel awesome. And then it's like, okay, here's your story moment. We're going to stop you for 20 minutes. I'm like, all right, nope, break time. Like, I can't, I don't want to do that. Like, it's not to the point to where it ruins the game, but it does teeter on that line far closer than I would like.
You know, I don't know. And I mean, I would love to, one of these days we might need to, kind of just go into what we think good stories in video games are, because I feel like these modern games now, they don't grab me story-wise and character-wise. It's really a struggle for me. I don't know if it's just me or other people feeling the same way, because Chorus is not a badly told story. And the story itself is not bad. It's just not engaging. Or rather, it feels so video gamey. Like, there's something about this story that is... It's not that it's just somewhat redundant or easy to figure out, but rather it's not told in a way that to me matches the gameplay. I mean, the gameplay is so just beautifully tight and quick and fast and furious, like, but the story is so just drab and slowly told and just stretch so far out, and like none of that is in the gameplay. Like this character, what she, what Nara was able to do.
She's not badass at all.
At all. And it's so weird because we're in a time where like all female characters need to be badass. And like, and you're looking at it like, to go back to Star Wars, look at like the last trilogy, and you're like, why is Rey even badass? I don't get it. Like, she shouldn't be, if anything. But like, this Nara character is a complete boss. And she's just a snore of a character. Like, she's just so sad all the time. And I get that this thing happened in her past, but the problem with video game storytelling, I feel like, is the lack of that arc. Because by the end of it, she's found a home. I mean, by the end of it, when you start the game, she's found a home. She's found the people to protect. She should have that arc to her. Whereas by the end of it, she's feeling a lot different, but she's just sort of the same drab, methodic character that is also seen in the way the story's played and what the story actually is. And it's just a complete and utter opposite of how the gameplay is.
Yeah, it's for me, it, I think the disconnect here is, well, I guess you could also, like, this is why Naughty Dog is as popular as they are, right? Because they have figured out that blend of not just good storytelling, but truly storytelling that complements the gameplay. Like, I am not a fan of The Last of Us Part II, but I cannot deny its prowess as a story interwoven with a game that complement each other.
Yeah, like, right.
Like, and that's where this is like the exact opposite of just like the gameplay doesn't match the story in any capacity. And that's, again, I look at Doom 2016 of that was where they figured it out. It's like, we're going to tell you this story that's just about like it's not nearly as deep as something like Naughty Dog. Don't get me wrong, but it complements the gameplay. Like, and that like you said, this is where it just doesn't. It's the complete opposite of they don't know how to, they tell you a story with cutscenes and they look good and they're high quality and they're well rendered because that's what you do, right?
Right.
That's how you, right. That's how you do it. Like, that's how Assassin's Creed does it. That's how every other AAA game does it. You know, that's how Gears of War does it. That's how Halo does it. Like, but I don't want to say we've gone past it because we haven't, but it's sticking out more and more because we're getting to the point now to where developers are getting better at it. So in probably 10 years, I think we're going to get to that point to where you're going to have cinematic specialists and you're going to have story specialists. And, you know, these games that have these stories that want to be super deep and interwoven into the gameplay will get there. But unfortunately, gaming as a medium just doesn't, we're not there yet. Not everyone has the talent that a Naughty Dog has, you know, or a Sony Santa Monica or something like that. But that's where Sony games stick out. But it's, look how long it took them to get there.
Right. You know,
it
no, took exactly. Them, what,
two
yeah.
and a half, like, console generations.
It's very hard to do. So I don't want to beat up on Chorus like it's the only one that does this. I point it out because of, again, how good the game is otherwise.
It's so good that like it actively makes the game worse. it's really sad because I just want to play the game. Like, there are very few times in a game to where like I want to play less of it, and this is one of them. Like, if this was a tight 8 to 10 hour experience and you told the story through in like just tell the story as I'm playing it instead of taking me out of everything, like this would be a game of the generation contender. Like, the gameplay is that tight, but it is that egregious that I'm just like, ouch, like you guys messed up here. So
yeah, we definitely need to get out of this era of gaming where everything is just so self-serious, like especially when you have developers and titles like Chorus who are capable of making just incredibly fun gameplay, just hyperbole at all. Like, it's incredible fun gameplay, like emphasis on fun, but there's nothing fun about the story or any other, like, there's not even like your basic comic relief character that's kind of with you. Like, you don't have like your, like, you know, like it should be something. This should be a bright spot or a fun spot in the way this story is told, or a cleverness in rather. Yeah, like exactly. It should be a cleverness in how the story is told and what the story is to complement the gameplay. Because again, I can't emphasize enough, the gameplay itself is phenomenal. The one thing I might want to change in the gameplay is how you switch your weapons, because you have to do it so often. Like, probably just make them face buttons or something, because it might be a little easier. But I mean, other than that, complete control.
We've been praising the gameplay, and like, I do think the gameplay is really good, but I do think it's, you know, if I had to rank it, it's like an 8.5 to a 9 out of 10. Like there's a couple things here and there that I think could be better, but if they like focused on the gameplay of it and really sort of, you know, expanded the enemy list and maybe added like a fourth weapon, you know, like they really polished that gameplay, it would be some of the best of any game I've played, like in terms of an action game. But yeah, like you said, it's pretty close. There are a couple things here and there. Like sometimes the laser can be weird because it's never properly explained. Cause like, so like the laser charges, and so that would make you think like you want to charge it up and only press the button once. But depending on what laser you have, sometimes it wants you to shoot 3 or 4 times in a row, but it doesn't tell you that kind of thing. So there's a lot of little things that you have to sort of remember, especially like with the overheating and like the rockets. Like there's changing weapons can sometimes be quirky, especially like when you're trying to get away from something, because you're going to end up, I guess on a keyboard, it would probably be easier. But there are times where, like where I'm trying to get out of a situation, because this very much has that pace of where if you stop, you're doing it wrong. Like you can't, especially later levels, you cannot stop or else you'll start getting hit like mad. So as I'm trying to get away from everything, to be able to switch to my rockets and still keep that momentum can be difficult. That's where like I basically had the weapons mapped to my Elite controller back paddles, because then I never had to take my hands off.
Yeah, see, that's the solution, yeah. Basically.
Right. So, and it was, the solution is buy a $200 controller. There you go. So, but yeah, so I think we've said everything we can. It's a phenomenal game in many aspects. It teeters that line, unfortunately, a little too closely of like, the story can really take away from it. My recommendation would be, I mean, the side missions are, most of them are bad. Like, and I don't mean that as in like, they're not fun. It's just like, they don't really do anything except give you credits. And sometimes they are simply like, hey, fly to this area. And it's like, okay, now what? Okay, that's it. And I'm like, all right, that's not.
Yeah. I stopped doing side missions early on. Yeah. But again, that goes back to modern game design. Like we need side missions because that's what you put in games. Like you don't put it in there. Just make it a tight story driven game and you're good to go.
Give these people Star Fox, man. Like Star Fox, not man, Star Fox, comma, man. Star Fox man sounds like a really, like really bad Saturday morning cartoon, but Nintendo, find these people, give them Star Fox and let's go. So I think it's safe to say that we're going to say you should check this one out. You know, find your pace, find out, maybe you love the side quests, maybe you don't, but I think there is enough here. Keep playing the game till you get the drift. If you get the drift and you're still not having fun with it, then you don't know what fun is, but at least you can say you tried. But it's, like I said, it's not perfect. It's got some major flaws, but it is still, I was hooked on this game from start to finish simply because there's so many different locations. The gameplay is a lot of fun. The enemies are fun. Like it looks awesome. There's just, I didn't expect it. Like this is the pinnacle of when Game Pass or Pass and Game Pass is firing on all cylinders. Cause it's like, I heard about this game. I kind of forgot about it. Cause that's what happens in this industry. And you boot it up and you just have a great time from start to finish. Like that's why this is when Game Pass is awesome. So, and this is exactly why I like this show is for games like this.
The only thing it needs is co-op.
Could you do that, man? Do you have, what if you like crashed into each other?
Yeah. Friendly fire co-op. Do it.
Friendly fire co-op. I like it. All right. That's going to do it. You can email us gpopfans@gmail.com. You can email us. Nope. I already said that. You can call us and leave a text message or a voicemail. 574-651-9256. Let us know what you like, don't like about Chorus or whatever other game you have played on Game Pass. When it comes to the future, our next episode is going to be on the Cowabunga Twins. How many are there?
The Cowabunga Quartet.
Quartet. That's, I want to say quintet, but that's five, right?
Yeah. Well, no, there are six, seven characters.
Right. There's Shredder and as well as April. So what? That'd be
Septuples.
Ninja Turtles. Septuples. Septuples. That might be right, but it might not. Anyways, we're going to be talking about Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. We've played it. We've talked about it. We played it. We're going to talk about it because Ninja Turtles rock. All right, that's going to do it for this game. Nope. All right, I'm going to do this. I got this. That is going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Good day, sirs. Craig.